Development Alternatives Women for a New Era, or DAWN, is a network of feminist scholars, researchers and activists from the economic south working for economic and gender justice and sustainable and democratic development. This recording is made available by DAWN through its website with kind permission. Other recordings are available for download at www.dawnnet.org and may be used freely following proper citation. DAWN Podcasts. The voices of women creating a just world.
Let me say how happy I am to be here with you, and particularly happy because I could at least be here today and attend some of the sessions, which were very interesting. Marina and I agreed that at least in this opening 10 minutes, that I would, of all the many different things that one could say at this moment, speak first to what I think are three critical areas in which we need to be thinking if we are to think about where we move and how we move beyond these crises. And so my first set of comments right now are simply going to be about those three. The three I've picked are the following. The first one, and very obviously, is of course about the crisis itself. And I'm not going to bore you with all of the stuff about analysis of the financial crisis and the nature of the financial crisis. Anybody who reads a newspaper even sporadically these days knows broadly what that's about, even whether or not we may know the specifics and the details of it. But what I do want to speak about is what is specific, new, or different about this crisis and where we are at this point, in order to talk about where we might think in terms of where we are going. Capitalism and crisis are like two sides of a coin. There's been no capitalism without successive and systematic crises every now and then, every few years or so, because of the nature of capitalism as a system of production and reproduction in itself. That's nothing new. But within the nature of capitalist crisis, there are two kinds of crises. There are the crises that you can write in small letters, and then there is the crises that one has to write in capital letters. The crises that one writes in capital letters are those that typically go with the decline of empire. They go with the decline of empire because empire is itself built upon economic hegemony and economic power. One country that comes to dominate the others because of its economic strength, because of its economic power in the global economy, in the world economy, and which has in fact been able to sustain that position through, of course, other forms of empire, political empire, colonization, neo-colonies of different kinds, and so on. And in the history of capitalism, the most dangerous times are when you have crisis corresponding with a declining empire. That's when the crisis typically goes from being crisis with a small c to crisis with a big C. Why do I say that? If we think about this crisis at this time, it goes hand in hand with, and in some senses one could argue that it is in fact fundamentally linked to, very major changes in economic production systems and distribution systems. The nature of economic life itself has changed dramatically to the point where the financial markets, the financialization of the economy has become huge. But this has not happened in a political vacuum. It's happened in a context where the ruling dominant economy of the last half century or more, at least since the Second World War, and one could argue even from before the Second World War, the US economy, has in fact been steadily going downhill. This recipe is a recipe for crisis writ large, because it means that the economic power that is losing its economic position in the world attempts desperately to retain and hold it through other mechanisms, through political mechanisms, through military mechanisms, through all kinds of ways in which, and this becomes crisis-less writ large precisely because this is the time when there are the biggest risks for major wars, major catastrophes, social catastrophes of different kinds. And I think that we are at this point living through a time like this. In the 20th century, we haven't really, this is not the first time, it's not the first time that a new century is being born like this. The previous century was born in very much the same way, and very quickly disintegrated into the First World War, came out of it a huge struggle for economic hegemony that then changed into and led into the Second World War, and then a period of about a half century of a peace guaranteed by Pax Americana. Pax Britannica, then I suppose some kind of Pax Germanica, if one could call that, peace, and then giving rise to the period of American hegemony, which clearly is under enormous stress and which will not hold any longer. The current decline in the value of the dollar that everybody is speaking about is a clear recognition that this is on its way down, this is on its way out. But what kind of new world economy gets created in its place is, I think, the major challenge that the world faces today. Now, in this brave new world, or as some people have called it, and as in Dawn we now have begun to call it, the fierce new world that we are engaged in, what's the role for social movements? What's the role for identity politics? And what is, of course, the role for the women's movement? One could ask, as we've been asking in Dawn, and that's my second point, in this context, what is the social project of the women's movement? Can we go beyond identity politics? Some would argue we've always been about both a mixture of identity politics as well as something beyond identity politics. But in the world of today, what is the social project of the women's movement? What is it that we are talking about that will give flesh to the bones that T was putting up on the table? Broad visions, wonderful visions about the kind of changes that we want to see. But what is the flesh that we are able to put on those bones? What exactly is it that we are talking about the nature of economy and society that we want to see? And in what ways will that economy and society take hold of the kinds of issues that the women's movement has raised, be able to integrate them in a central way in the creation of a new society and a new economy as well? And I would argue that this is one of the most critical questions for the fierce new world that we live in today. And if the women's movement is to see beyond Beijing and is to go beyond Beijing, then we need to go beyond the 12 key chapters and the 12 key themes of Beijing to be able to take hold of and address this question. Let me say a little bit more about identity politics in this regard, and this is the third point that I want to raise. If one looks at meetings that we hold, either globally or regionally, as women's movement, as parts of the women's movement, whether it is through AWID, whether it is through forums like this one, etc. A great deal of the energy of the movement comes from its willingness to grab hold of and grasp very difficult issues that have to do with personal life. Specifically, of course, issues around sexuality. Now, we know that in Beijing, although the famous Para 96 was much of the Beijing Platform for Action, was much better than anything we had had up to that point in the area of sexuality and sexual rights, it was far from adequate. And since then, the struggle to understand and create a politics around sexuality that is inherent and intrinsic to the women's movement is, I think, still an ongoing and incomplete struggle. It's a struggle where identity politics actually is a central question and a central issue. But in a period where increasingly in the world, sexuality and reproduction, for the first time in human history, are not inextricably bound together, is an issue that has to be addressed. It is an issue that has to be addressed particularly for young people because of demographic changes, if nothing else. People simply don't marry at the age of 9, as my grandmother did, or at the age of 14. They may marry at the age of 27. They may not marry at all. They may have children in or out of wedlock. They may have children through artificial reproductive, assisted reproductive technologies. They may have children with, in all kinds of ways. Families may be created in all kinds of ways. The women's movement is at the forefront of grappling with these issues, but it's not alone in grappling with these issues, as we know. There are others as well, but I think it's extremely important that as the women's movement, as we move forward in this era where we are trying to think of how we move beyond and integrate identity politics with the politics of social movements more broadly, that we hold on and bring these issues into the center of the discussion. So if you were to ask, as Marina asked me, what are my three issues that I would pick on as very important ones that we need to be working together collectively in moving beyond Beijing and thinking about how we would move beyond Beijing, these would be my three. The financial crisis, but the implications of the financial crisis for the kind of new world that's being created in production, in the economy, and in politics, and what is women's place, what is the role of our identities in that. The second being the critical question about the social project of our movement. What is that? And what does it translate into in terms of the nuts and bolts of development and of transformation? And thirdly, dealing with the personal in its most fundamental sense of the connections between sexuality, identity, reproduction, and human life. Thank you.
This speech was brought to you by ISIS International. For more audio coverage of the Asia-Pacific NGO Forum on Beijing Plus 15, please tune in the ISIS website on www.isisinternational.org.